Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and then 22 through 31. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to live all that live." The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earthen fields or the world's first bits of soil, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. This is the word of the Lord.
People of God, let us pray together. Great and holy God, this Trinity Sunday, we again come to you. We proclaim you as three in one. We know that you are who you are and that you created us. And yet we confess we do not always understand exactly what any of that means. And so we ask that you would open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive your word. Amen. Our second lesson comes from Romans chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning is Trinity Sunday, the Sunday immediately following Pentecost, in which we are supposed to pay particular attention to the Trinitarian nature of our God. This is the Sunday that invites pastors around the world to attempt to explain to their congregations what it is when we say that God is three in one. Among the religions of the world, we are unique in this understanding of a Trinity as God as one. Three persons, yet united as one. We worship not three gods, but one. And still we say that God is Trinity. And so we preachers are supposed to try and figure out a way to explain that to everyone else. Theologians have spilled ink upon ink, trying to explain, because it is not an easy thing for us to wrap our minds around. Three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are some of the names that we assign. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer is another favorite. God, Wisdom, and Word is yet another. Throughout Christian history, theologians and artists and mystics and ordinary people have tried to explain what this means. On the screen this morning, you have a few of the representations that have been used to try to help us understand what any of this means. These images range from a picture of three individual humans gathered around a table to the traditional interlocking of the three triangles. These are historic representations of what it means to say Trinity, and yet none of them are the Trinity, are they? Each of these images is intended to help us see God in a new way, but none of them give us the full picture of God at the same time. Scripture is full of references to the three persons of God without ever using the word Trinity. If you didn't know that, it's not in the Bible. That doesn't mean it's not true, it's just not specifically stated. If you're looking for biblical proof of the Trinity, you will find it in reference upon reference to the relationship God has with God's self, and yet nowhere in Greek or in Hebrew does the word Trinity show up, which is maddening for a lot of people. So how are we to understand? How do we wrap our minds around what we say we believe? God is three in one. This morning's readings help a little bit, in particular the one Kim read about Proverbs about wisdom. Wisdom with a capital W in Greek is Sophia. It's described as being at creation, before creation came into being, wisdom was there. God is the master worker, and wisdom stands with God and helps to spin all things into being. Wisdom is with God in the very beginning as a master creator, delighting in God, delighting in the creation. Even as we also remember in the Gospel of John at the very beginning, some of you had to memorize this when you were kids, in the beginning was what? The Word. The Word and wisdom. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are with God from the very beginning. So why does that matter? It matters because we are created by God as relational beings. We are created by our God as relational beings. Each and every one of us was created for connection with other humans. We are created by God for relationships because God is relational. Before all things, as chaos swirled around and there was nothing, God was relationship. Before all things, from the very beginning, God has been and will ever be relationship. We are created to be a part of that relationship. The eternal dance goes on without us. God is three in one. God is relational within the parts of the Trinity. And yet we are invited into that dance as well, because we were created to be connected to each other and connected to God. Years and years ago, in the midst of the Cold War, studies were conducted on orphans in orphanages on the other side of the Iron Curtain. Orphanages that were large and industrial, where babies were placed in cribs and fed and cleaned, but not nurtured or played with. And for some reason, these children did not thrive. What was the missing link? Human connection. Human touch. Babies who were held and played with and talked to and interacted with each other and their caregiver began to thrive. Babies left alone and only their minimum needs cared for do not thrive. We know this about our older folk as well, don't we? Think about the people that you know who have retired from the world and retired from life, retired from relationships, and how quickly they decline and how vibrant those who stay active and connected with other people continue to be. We were created for connection. We were created for relationship. God created us not only for relationship with each other, but God calls us and invites us and pursues us to be in relationship within the Trinity as well. The eternal dance of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not merely a dance of three. It is a dance into which we are invited. God is constantly calling us and inviting us, beckoning us into that dance to be a part of what is happening in the world. The image that you've seen of God around the table, I want you to notice that around that table, the Trinity is not closed off around a round table, but it is a square table. Historians and archaeologists have studied this icon and have noticed that there is a sticky substance at the front of the table. They speculate that a mirror used to be there. Think about that for a minute. God gathered around a table and a mirror. We are invited to gather around the table. We are invited to be a part of the Trinity, to be involved, to be in relationship. In the beginning, God invited and called us into relationship. God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. Did you ever pay attention to that? God invited Abram into covenant, gave him a new name and a son. Wisdom cries out on the side of the road, at the crossroads, in the towns, and on the heights, come and listen. Listen and learn. In the fullness of time, we are told the Word put on flesh and came and was one of us so that we would learn to be in relationship with Him. God is eternally relationship, eternally seeking us to be connected to us. There's an endless creativity, an endless openness about this. No matter how hard we try to nail God down, no matter how hard we try to fit God into our boxes and our categories to explain it all and have it make perfect sense, God says, but it's this and. There is always more to the dance, to the God who invites us to wonder, to creativity, to engage. We are constantly being invited in to understand that God is relationship with us. So where is God inviting you into deeper relationship? Where is God inviting you to step into the divine dance? Where is God inviting you to go a little bit deeper with someone else, to dive deeper into relationship? Are there people in your life that move along the periphery, people that you sort of know their name, that you say hi to, but you've never really spoken with? How might you invite them into the relationship, the relationships that God has called us to? What is the next step in God's invitation to the dance for you? You see, God is not just inviting us into relationship. God is that relationship. God invites us to be a partner. And so whenever we go deeper with someone else, God is in that space inviting us, challenging us, and pursuing us. We worship a God who is three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier, Wisdom, Word, and God. The relationships matter. The relationship to God, the connection to God, the connections and relationships we have one with another, we are a part of the dance of creation. And so I wonder what new step to the dance you are supposed to be learning. I want to leave you with a poem called The Divine Dance. It's found in the book called The Divine Dance by Richard Rohr. One alone is not by nature love, or laugh, or sing. One alone may be prime mover, unknowable, indivisible, all. And if everything is all, and all is one, one is alone, self-centered, not love, not laugh, not sing. Two, yin and yang, dark and light, male and female, dualism, affirming evil or good, striving toward balance, at best, face to face, but never community. Three, face to face to face, community, ambiguity, mystery. Love for the other and for the other's love. Within, other-centered, self-giving, loving, singing, laughter, a fourth is created, ever loved and loving. A fourth is created, ever loved and loving. We are invited into the dance. Let us pray. God of Trinity, you invite us into your presence. You invite us into your dance. And so help us to go deeper with you, to dive in and learn new steps as we enter our relationship with you. Challenge us to also go deeper in the relationships that we have, to form new relationships, to build on what we have been invited to be and to do in this world. Your eyes, your ears, and your voice to a lost and broken world. Amen.